Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, we've come this far by faith, and he's never failed us yet. No, the Lord has never failed you, and he's never failed me. Welcome to another broadcast of this end time news reporting. And yes, we are reporting on end time news because we are in the end times. That's where we are, folks. We're in the end times. We're in the end times. And I have not been on the air since Thursday. Sister Marie suggested that we not do our Friday broadcast on the 20th, only because it was Inauguration Day here in the United States. And for those of you listening to us from Germany, from Norway, from Canada, and from other parts of Europe, that's why we haven't been on the air since Thursday. We took off Friday. It was a big day here in the United States, and of course, Saturday and Sunday we don't do that much reporting, only because we understand that many of you are out and about on Saturday, catching up with your laundry and your grocery shopping, and then of course Sunday we would expect you. If you're still going to a house of worship, to be there and to receive the word of the Lord from the pulpit. So we try to come on 5 days a week, and I would love to come on 7 days, but the problem is, the reality is that when I feed too much, people don't listen to the extra broadcast. I guess I'm overfeeding them. So for now, until the appetite increases, we'll do 5 days. And yes, Sister Marie and I will be back on the air coming Friday, January the 27th. And it's a call-in broadcast. So if you want to call in, We welcome you to do so. We just encourage you that if you call in, you need to behave yourself. We welcome a difference of opinion. We welcome any question that you may have. We welcome any observation you may have. But we do not welcome nonsense. We don't welcome stupidity. If you're going to call and if you're going to act silly, then we will first mute you and then secondly, immediately disconnect you. So, of course, call us this coming Friday. And if you have any questions, that you would like to submit for us to answer on the air, all you need to do is email Sister Marie at reformationexpress@gmail.com, reformationexpress@gmail.com, and you can email us your questions, your comments, your observations, up to, let's say, 3 or 4 hours before the broadcast, and then we will have your, whatever it is you submitted, we will have it read on the air, and if it's a question, we'll do our best to answer it. So it's been a couple of days since I was last on the air, but I have I pray would be a program that would be a blessing to you, only because we do need to talk about false prophets who are money loving hired guns. False prophets who are money loving hired guns. Now, before I get into the actual teaching and the audio and all that good stuff that we normally get into, let me please remind everybody, if you have not purchased your PDF copy of Jackass Bishops, do so by going to the website. All you have to do is type into your computer search bar, type in the phrase paganbishops.com, and it will take you to the website. In fact, we worked on the website the time that we had off, the time that we weren't on the air. We were working on the website, and if you go to the website, it's been revamped. We always like to add new artwork, and so on the left-hand corner, you will find the book, Jackass Bishops. You'll find the title, the artwork, and the entire write-up that tells you what Jackass Bishops is all about. And, of course, the book is doing well. We are causing a major stir because the author is presenting evidence. And if you are an intelligent person, if you are a person who wants truth backed up by facts, then Jackass Bishops is the book for you. Jackass Bishops is definitely the book for you. If you're an intelligent person, if you are scratching your head, if you're looking at what's going on in the church and you don't have a clue, well, Jackass Bishops will point you in the direction. It will tell you what's going on in the church and why. And who is behind the scenes causing the church to be given this horrible makeover? Jackass Bishops. Now, when you go to the center column in the website, we have just put up the artwork and a description of the next book, which is going to be due out. February the 1st. Now, the author was wanting to release a book, one book per month, but decided not to because it's taken people a while to go through the first book. And it's pretty much like in my situation. I just don't want to do broadcast if people are not tuning in. It takes a lot of work, folks. It takes a lot of work to put one of these broadcasts together. It takes a lot of work, a lot of hours of prayer, research, meditation. I got to type up my outline. This is a lot of work. And of course, you have to block out the hour of time. You know, we're trying to do 2 hours here a day of teaching. So this is work. So the author just doesn't want to put out a book to say that he's putting out a book, but no one's reading it. So people are going through Jackass Bishops. They're going through it methodically only because there are footnotes and people are checking out. I mean, their minds are being blown away. I mean, people are just writing in saying, wow, this book was phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's an easy read. I had to reread it again. Now I'm reading it the third time and I'm checking out my footnotes. I'm going to the library. I'm actually picking up the books that this guy is referring to. I'm reading more extensively. So the author wants to take his time in putting out books. Now, of course, he wants to put out one book per month, but people aren't keeping up with the author. They're not. So he's going to put out a book once every 2 months. The next one is called Nehushtan Bishops. And I want to encourage you to go to the website. It's not going to be available until February the 1st. It's not. And it's yours for a donation of $15. It's yours for a donation. And it has 16 riveting chapters, close to 300 footnotes. The other book, Jackass Bishops, had 13 chapters. It had 200 footnotes. This book has three more chapters and 100 more footnotes. If the first book blew your mind, get ready to have your mind blown a second time. Nehushtan Bishops. All you have to do is type in your computer search bar, paganbishops.com. paganbishops.com, and go there, read the write-up. Read it. And you're going to see it is a book worth reading. And here's the thing. I don't know of a book, and I have an extensive library myself. I don't know of a book that tells you when the gift that Christ gave the church, because the bishopric, the office of the pastor, elder, bishop is one and the same. And that's the beautiful thing that this author does. He takes you back to the New Testament. He shows you where if you are a pastor, you are also an elder, you are also a bishop. And he provides all of the scriptures, all of them. And the term pastor, elder, bishop are used interchangeably. When you read the New Testament, Paul and the other apostles will use elder. Elder tells us that the people who are in the pastorate are individuals who have much experience under their belt. That's what an elder is. That's why the Bible says that you don't put a new convert to be a pastor. Why? They don't have any experience. They don't have any. So an elder is one who God has groomed and seasoned in the gospel so that now they're in their prime to be a pastor. So an elder is one who has a vast resume of spiritual experience. A pastor is one who's responsible to feed the flock, deworm the flock. To deworm the flock is to cure the flock of parasites. So a pastor feeds, a pastor deworms, and a pastor heals. There are many ailments that come upon sheep, and the shepherd must heal them. And then finally, a shepherd protects the flock from all of the predators out there in the spiritual world. So a pastor feeds, a pastor deworms, a pastor heals, mends, and a pastor protects the flock from predators. But then the term bishop means supervisor. So in the house of God, the pastor is the spiritual supervisor of the family. That's what he is. That's all. Bishop means one who has oversight. One who has oversight. One who has been given the spiritual supervision. This is why when you read about Moses and Moses being a pastor, God always kept calling him to the mountaintop. Why? So that he can have oversight. So that he could look down on the 12 tribes. And God said to him, look at the land that I will give the people. See, and then Moses could come down and tell them. From that spiritual vantage point, Moses could come down and tell the people, this is what God has for us, and this is how I am supposed to supervise the pilgrimage from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. So a bishop is simply one who has oversight of the flock. A pastor is one who feeds the flock and who does everything that the flock needs. And also, a pastor is an elder. An elder means that a pastor is not a Johnny-come-lately. He's not a newcomer. He's not a new Christian. He's not a babe in Christ. The pastor, the bishop, must be one who is well-seasoned in the things of God. So all three terms were used interchangeably. But what happened was that man took. And the author explains this. He lays out the history. He shows you where the term bishop was elevated without Christ's permission and without the permission of the apostles, without the permission of Christ and without the permission of the apostles. There was a group of men who took the term bishop and elevated it over the elder and the pastor. And that's where the perversion came in. And then those men passed the baton to the Roman Catholic Church. And then the Roman Catholic Church went and perverted it yet even more. And that's why what we have in our hands today and in our midst today is a perverted bishopric. It's completely perverted. And what the author does in the book, Nehushtan Bishops, is he gives you the history. He gives you the footnotes. He cites the authorities from which he gets his information to prove to you that what we have today is not what Christ gave the church. And it's not what the apostles implemented after Jesus left. It is a complete perversion. So I want to encourage you to go to the website, paganbishops.com, read the description of the book. And if you want to place your order, you can do so. The only thing is, if you place your order today, you're not going to get it until February the 1st. So that's some news that I need to convey to you. And if you have not read Jackass Bishops, you need to read both. In fact, you need to read all 12 books that this man is going to release. When you have all 12 books in your hands, it will be an encyclopedia of ministry. It will be an encyclopedia of ecclesiology. You want to know what the church is all about? You want to know what church leadership is all about? You need to get your hands on these 12 books. They will add greatly to your understanding of what the bishopric is. Now, when you look at bishops in the church today with their funny outfits and their funny hats, which they call mitre, And they claim, oh, we get our mitre from Aaron. Well, no. There's a book coming up, which the author has already written. It's called Episcopal Fashionistas. Episcopal Fashionistas. And in that book, the author shows that all of the clothes that bishops wear today, all of it, from top to bottom, is of pagan origin. Comes from the pit of hell. Episcopal Fashionistas. I'm telling you, this series is just phenomenal. It's a phenomenal series. It's a mind-boggling series. The guy just did his research. He just, God bless him. Well, listen, today we want to talk about beware of false prophets who are money-loving hired guns. Money-loving hired guns. Why false prophets? Well, folks, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, as he was concluding his famed Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse number 15, he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware. Keep your eyes peeled. Be on the lookout of false prophets, pseudo prophetes in Greek, pseudo, which means there's nothing real about them. They're completely fake. They're bogus. There's nothing legitimate about them. They don't hear from God. They don't speak for the Lord. They're not God's mouthpiece. They have no revelation you can hang your hat on. They're false prophets. They are fake mouthpieces. And he says, beware of them. Why? Because they don't come advertising that they're false prophets. They don't come telling you that they're fake. They don't come telling you they've been sent by Satan. They don't tell you this. No, on the contrary. They come masquerading as one of us. They come masquerading as sheep. But Jesus says, if you look underneath their costume, if you look underneath their veneer, if you can just dig a little deeper, Jesus says, you will understand that inwardly, they possess a different nature. They are wolves, not sheep. They're not peaceful, but they are ravening. They will tear you limb from limb. Patience. Now, interesting enough, a pastor is a sheepdog. Now, part of the dog family, like the wolf. A pastor is a sheepdog. A wolf is part of the canine family. But a sheepdog protects the sheep, watches over the sheep, will confront the wolves. You see? But even wolves don't come as sheepdogs. That's the interesting thing. Wolves don't come as sheepdogs. They come as sheep. That's how good their disguise is. Because, you know, sheep don't have problems. Sheep don't have problems with sheepdogs. But Jesus said the wolves, it would be easy for a wolf. It doesn't take that much makeup for a wolf to become a sheepdog. It really doesn't. All you need is cut here and cut there, and you know. Sheepdogs and wolves are pretty close. But the wolves don't want to take any chance. So how do they come? They come as sheep. They come. They don't come howling. They come bleeding. I mean, they want to sound like sheep. They want to skip through the meadow like sheep. They don't even learn how to skip. They'll stay with the herd. They'll lie down. They'll move their jaw like if they're chewing the cud, like if they're bringing up the grass. The sheep has four stomachs. The wolf has one. And the reason why the sheep has four stomachs is because the sheep is moving. When they eat grass, they're storing the grass, and the grass is going through the four stomachs so that later on when the sheep brings up the grass again to chew the cud, it's like a storage bin. A storage bin in which the grass is being broken down and being prepared to, well, the wolves only have one stomach. So they're going to sit there. Wolves will sit there in the meadow. They'll sit there in the pasture. And the same way the sheep are moving the jaw, like if they're chewing, the wolf will do the same thing, imitating. Until the opportune time. When the shepherd goes to sleep and he puts all of the sheep in the sheep pen, when the shepherd wakes up the next day, he will notice, he will see the carnage. Yes, so false prophets are money-loving hired guns. Now, let me just spend a little bit of time here on this concept of hired guns. In the Old West, that's where the term developed, in the Old West. In the American West, you had individuals who were called gunslingers. You had individuals who were not only gunslingers, but they were so proficient, so good with the gun, that they were called hired guns. And many times, a rancher, an individual who had much livestock, would hire the best hired guns to protect his ranch, his livestock, to protect his livelihood from robbers. So in many instances, you can have a hired gun. You can have someone who's good with weaponry, and you can hire them to protect you. It's like today, many millionaires get in and out of cars, and when they get out, their bodyguard gets out. And their bodyguard is a hired gun, someone there to protect them if anybody gets stupid or silly. Hired guns. So in the Old West, you had these hired guns. And, of course, the idea of them being hired means you had to pay them. And the better the hired gun, the more you had to pay them. When hired guns were hired out to do crimes, a hired gun was hired to do two things when they were criminals. One, you might hire a hired gun to kill somebody for you. You want to exact the measure of revenge, so you go out and you hire a hired gun. You know, there's a movie, it's a Clint Eastwood movie, it's called Unforgiven. And the plot of the movie is that there is a prostitute, there is a woman, there's a hooker who lives in a town, and she's part of this bordello, she's part of this whore house. She's one of the working members of the whore house. And one of her patrons takes out a knife and cuts the woman in the face and damages her because, you know, in the old West, if you had your face slashed, you were not appealing. And so now here you have this hooker, this prostitute who makes money, who makes her living, who makes her livelihood, depending upon her looks. But now someone cut her face. So in the movie Unforgiven, the prostitutes put all of their money together and they hire a hired gun to kill the man who cut the woman's face. It's a perfect example of a hired gun. So many times you hired someone to exact revenge. You hired someone to kill someone on your behalf. That's a hired gun. Also, a hired gun is a person in the West who is hired to stick up stagecoaches, you know, money and mail and certified checks used to travel by means of stagecoach. That's how they moved money around. And so you would hire guns to do stick-ups. Well, when I am referring to hired guns, and I'm going to read to you now from this dictionary, is called The Facts on File Dictionary of Modern Illusions. The Facts on File Dictionary of Modern Illusions. The author, it's two authors. The author, the one author is Sylvia Cole. No relations to Elijah Cole, the author of the books on Paula White. Sylvia Cole and Abraham H. Lass. Now, on page 195, they have here the definition of what is a hired gun. And they write here, a hired gun. Originally, person hired to kill someone. That's the first definition. Originally, in the Old West, a hired gun was a person hired to kill someone, like I told you in the movie Unforgiven. And in that movie, you have Morgan Freeman and you have Clint Eastwood. In fact, Unforgiven won several Academy Awards. It's a Western. But again, it illustrates the original meaning of what was a hired gun. Now, the authors claim, now it applies to anyone hired to do a particularly difficult job. Now the term, since we no longer live in the Old West, no one's walking around shooting up other people and no one's robbing stagecoaches because stagecoaches don't exist. They just, so now the word or the phrase or the meaning, the term hired gun has morphed. And now we call anyone a hired gun who has been hired to do a particularly difficult job. So it's in that sense that when I say that false prophets are money-loving hired guns, it's in that sense that I'm referring to them. They have been hired to do something that is extremely, particularly difficult. So when I make reference to a hired gun, just think of that hired gun as a stick-up artist. I have here, beware of false prophets. Now, why didn't I insert false preachers? Why didn't I insert false teachers? Well, the reason why I put false prophets is because false prophets are more dangerous than false preachers and false teachers. You see, a false preacher and a false teacher will twist the Bible. They'll twist the Bible. And that's all they do. That's all a false preacher is going to do is twist the Bible. That's all a false teacher is going to do. They're just going to twist the Bible. But a false prophet will not only twist the Bible, but they also come with new revelation. And that's what makes them doubly more dangerous. See, that's why a false prophet is more dangerous than a false preacher and a false teacher. You can spot a false teacher once you identify what scripture it is that they're twisting, what scripture it is that they're altering, what scripture it is that they are manipulating. You can say, okay, he's a false teacher. He's a false preacher. Because they only twist one thing. But the false prophet, not only do they twist the Bible, but also they say, thus saith the Lord. And it's in the thus saying the Lord that they trick people. See, that's what makes them super dangerous. That's why Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Why? Well, because most Jews knew the Bible. Most Jews were not going to be bamboozled when a false preacher or a false teacher came around to twist the scriptures, because the Jews knew the scriptures. You see, the false prophet can get over on them because the false prophet is saying, thus saith the Lord, God is sending me a message. And that's what most people can't check out unless they're seasoned. Unless they've been taught by their pastor. So false prophets are more dangerous than false preachers and teachers because they can twist two things. One, they can twist the word of God. And two, they can create words for God that God never said. So that's why I want to take it to another level. See, I want to take it to another. I want you to beware of false prophets. I want you to beware of the individual who does twist the Bible, who does to the Bible. Yes, I want you to keep your eye out for him, but I also want you to keep your eye out for him who says, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord never said. And they are hired guns. They're not here to kill the sheep. They're not here to blow the sheep away. No, they're not. Because if you kill the sheep, then you actually killed the golden goose that lays the egg. No, you don't want to kill the members. You don't want to kill the members. No. See, it's not like in the Old West where you hired somebody and they went out and shot the person you told them to shoot. They actually killed the person. No, but the pastor doesn't want the sheep killed. Why? Because if the pastor has the sheep killed, the pastor can't fleece them anymore. So what does the pastor want when he brings in a false prophet? When he pays a false prophet to come to your church, what does the pastor want? Well, he wants the false prophet to stick up, kill the sheep, but to terrify them, to fear monger. To stick them up. See? To say, thus saith the Lord, if you don't sow this seed, you're not going to be blessed. See, that's a stick-up artist. That's a hired gun. And there's all kinds of hired guns. There's all kinds of hired guns. But false prophets are extremely dangerous because, like I said, not only do they twist the Bible, not only do they twist the written word of God, but then they can come to you and say, I got a dream from the Lord, or I got a vision from the Lord, or I got a word from the Lord. I had a dream. And, you know, there were legitimate people in the Bible who got dreams. There were legitimate people whom God spoke to in dreams. Legitimate people. True prophets whom God spoke to in dreams. There were true prophets whom God spoke to in visions. They're called seers. A prophet whom God speaks to in dreams and visions is called a seer, an S-E-E-R. In Hebrew, that's a roeh, R-O-E-H. A roeh is one who sees things, dreams things. So these false prophets are dangerous because, you know, we know that there are people in the Bible who got dreams. We know that there are people in the Bible who had visions. We know that there are people in the Bible who actually heard from God. In the New Testament, mind you. In the New Testament. Yes, there were people in the New Testament who had dreams and visions and received words from in the New Testament church. Not just the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. So, you see, these false prophets are like those pistoleros. A pistolero is a Spanish word for hired gun. It's like those, you know, some hired guns had, their guns had one barrel. But then there were hired guns whose guns had two barrels. You see, one barrel is the twisted word of God. The second barrel is a false dream, a false vision, or a false word. So there are hired guns. There are people whom these fake pastors will bring in to help them fleece their own people. You know, if you own a farm and you raise sheep like I did, when shearing time comes, if you have 200 sheep, 300 sheep, person can't, I mean, by the time you shear 300 sheep by yourself, you're going to collapse dead. So you hire people. There are people who hire themselves out. They will call you and say, when are you going to be shearing your sheep? And you give them a day. Do you need any help? Yes. How much do you pay an hour? Or are you paying by the sheep? Are you going to pay me by the sheep? Some farmers, some herdsmen will pay by the hour. Some will, well, if you shear 100 sheep, I'll pay you XYZ for each sheep. So no farmer, now if you have 10 sheep, you can shear them yourself. If you have 20, you can 30, you can shear them yourself, but not 100. So you hire somebody to come on shearing day to help you shear your sheep. Or if you have a large family, it becomes a family day where, you know, the wife, the kids, everybody, the uncles, the aunts, all who know how to shear, because you have to know how to do it. There's a level of expertise you need to have to take a pair of shears in your hands and cut very close to animal skin. You don't want to butcher an animal. It's not easy shearing sheep. Go to YouTube, Google it. You'll see. Whether you're doing it by hand with manual shearers or if you're doing it with electric shears. Well, you see, ranchers who raise sheep for their wool, even for the meat, will hire shearers during shearing time. Now, your pastor is hiring your fake pastor, your fake bishop, will hire shearers, or not, he'll tell you that they're shearers, but they're really fleecers. You see, the pastor will bring people in, and those people will have a prophetic word, and they will say to you, so to the man of God's vision. And I want people to give $1,000 to the man of God's vision. And then what happens is when your pastor winds up raising $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, he cuts that. They go in the back room. Here's your check. You get $15,000. You got me $80,000. You get $15,000. And for a con artist, that's a good payday. See, they're hired guns. They're hired guns. The pastor opens the door to the sheepfold because pastors speak among themselves and they say, hey, this guy, this guy got me $100,000. He came to my, we raised $100,000. Word gets out. Word gets out. So that's why you'll notice that there's a lot of pastors who would have a Steve Muncy come to their church. I mean, this is why you see Steve Muncy on TBN. Then you'll see Steve Muncy on the Word Network. Then you'll see Steve Muncy on God TV. Then you'll see Steve Muncy on Daystar. Then you'll see Steve Muncy on Impact Network. I mean, these guys just go from one network. Why? Because they're fantastic hired guns. They are outstanding stick-up artists. They're outstanding. And why do they do it? Do they do it because they want to be famous? Do they do it because they want to be known as a tremendous carnal? No, no, they do it because of the money. They love the money. They're after the money. It pays well. It pays well. It pays well. Well, 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 well. Here's a clip. Here's a clip that I thought you may want to hear. Here is a clip. This is Mike Murdoch. Here's Mr. Mike Murdoch. And he wants you to give him $1,000. Here it is.
You cannot get this in any bookstore in the world, wherever you go. It's my seed. It's just come off the press. I want to sow this as a seed because I believe in David Sorrell. I believe in Inspiration Networks. I believe in this ministry.
You see, now David Cirillo, the son of Morris Cirillo, who's taken over for his father, he just brought in Mike Murdoch as a hired gun. He just brought in Mike Murdoch as a hired gun. Now, Mike Murdoch is offering these people a little book that at any printer, you can get it printed for a dollar. The book Mike Murdoch is a pamphlet. It's not even a book, but he calls it a book. But it's really a pamphlet. And if you get these done in bulk numbers, you get them done for 50 cents or a dollar, depending on the printer. And so he's offering you this little pamphlet, and all you got to do is send David Cirillo's ministry $1,000 for a little pamphlet. So what does he and David do? They split the spoils. They split the spoils. So Dave and listen, David Cirillo is on every day on the BET network, Black Entertainment Television. Black Entertainment Television allows David Cirillo and his hired guns like Mike Murdoch to come there and fleece black people at $1,000 a pop. Here it is again. Watch Mike Murdoch say, I'm here on behalf of David Cirillo and the Inspiration Network. Listen to it.
You cannot get this in any bookstore in the world, wherever you go. It's my seed. It's just come off the press. I want to sow this as a seed because I believe in David Cirillo. I believe in Inspiration Networks. I believe in this ministry. And what I make happen for others, God will make happen for me. Somebody's son is going to be set free from alcohol because of your $1,000 seed. Somebody is going to avoid a divorce because of the $1,000 seed. Some girl on drugs whose mama's been praying for her is going to be set free from drugs because of $1,000. And what I make happen for others, Ephesians 6:8, God will make happen for me. I don't want you to call until I finish my prayer. And as soon as I finish my prayer, I want you to go to the phone, dial the number on the screen, and simply say, I'm one of the 1,000. I'm going to faith in somehow in 90 days a $1,000 seed. You may already have the 1,000. It may be something you put aside for retirement or a college or a vacation. You may have put some money aside that nobody knows about, and God's given you a picture. It may be in the bottom of your closet, maybe in a sock, maybe between your mattresses. It may be an account that nobody knows about, but you and God. That's not your harvest. That $1,000 won't get you anywhere until God touches it. Everything God touches multiplies. precious Holy Spirit. I ask you for 1,000 miracles within 90 days. I don't know who the 1,000 people are, but there's 1,000 watching me that needs a harvest much more than they need the seed. They know, like I know, that they can't do very much with 1,000. Probably can't buy a real good sofa with 1,000. But we can bring it and present it to you for multiplication. I told my testimony. I ask you for a Boaz anointing, and in the name of Jesus and this word, I come into a covenant that today is the poorest you will ever be the rest of your life. I decree that this is the $1,000 that breaks forever the back of poverty. I come into a covenant with you that every time God blesses me, He blesses you. I come into a covenant that the house that's become toilsome, tormenting to you to pay off, I ask God from the north, the south, the east, and the west to supernaturally bring you miracle money that causes you to be a trophy on display to your family. I pray that God uses you to show off to your unsaved mom, dad, children that you have a Jehovah Jireh in your life. I'm going to ask God to show His power off to you. I ask you one thing, to brag on Him the rest of your life. But every time God gives you a miracle, you'll tell everybody what He's done for you. You have a Jehovah Jireh. I set myself in covenant that the next 90 days will be the most ridiculously wonderful days you've had in the history of your life. That in the back of your Bible, you will document today, this date that you're listening to me, you will write that in the back of your Bible and count off 90 days and watch the supernatural. Something in God's hand is going to be released, because when something leaves my hand, something leaves God's hand. Nothing leaves heaven till something leaves the earth. Delayed obedience is disobedience. In the name of Jesus, I decree your harvest. It is
No, it's not done. Once you go to the phones and you send that money, the money will disappear. And, you know, the back of poverty is not going to be broken. First of all, you had to do back-breaking work to get the $1,000. You had to do back-breaking work to get the $1,000. And you're going to have to do more back-breaking work to recuperate it. That's the only back that's going to be broken. It's not going to be the back of poverty. It's going to be your back. Your back. This is a false prophet who is a hired gun. Mike Murdoch has been hired by everybody to fleece people. Here's another hired gun. Here's another one who's making the rounds all over the place. His name is Todd Koontz. Here he is.
For every chapter in the Word of God, I'm going to ask a partner of this ministry to sow what I call a turnaround seed. I'm going to ask you to name this seed a turnaround seed. $1,189 of the partners of this ministry, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, and I'm going to ask you to sow a seed with expectation. But I'm going to ask you to name this seed your turnaround seed. You see, I believe over the next 60 days that there's an anointing for a turnaround right now. That there's an anointing for a turnaround right now. That there's an anointing for a turnaround right now.
The word anointing is a word false teachers use a lot to deceive. Isaiah 10 verse 27 says the anointing lifts burdens and takes away yokes. If John really had the anointing, shouldn't he be in the streets healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and restoring hope to the hopeless?
There's an anointing for a turnaround in your business, a turnaround in your finances, a turnaround in your family, a turnaround in your health, turnaround in your health, turnaround in your health.
God is a liar. He wants you to believe so, and his seed of money would bring healing to you. Where in the Bible do we see Christ, Paul, or any of the apostles asking people to pay before they get healed?
I believe that if you'll use your faith, the season of your life will change. Isaiah chapter 43 and 44 says that, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season, there is a time, to every purpose under the sun and under the heaven. I believe that this is your time. This is your moment to believe God. This is your divine moment. When you ask God for a miracle, he will always ask you to use your faith. When you ask God for a miracle, he'll connect you to a man or woman of God. Now, as we enter prayer time, I want you to listen very carefully, because I'm going to come into a covenant with 1,189. Because I'm going to come into a covenant with 1,189. Because I'm going to come into a covenant with 1,189. There are literally 1,189 chapters in the Word of God. For every chapter in the Word of God, I'm going to ask a partner of this ministry to sow what I call a turnaround seed. I'm going to ask you to name this seed a turnaround seed. I'm going to ask you to focus your faith. I'm going to ask you to wrap faith and expectation around it. And I'm going to ask you to believe over the next 60 days for God to give you a turnaround. A turnaround in your finances. Somebody's watching me right now, that God's going to give you a business idea, a concept, even an opportunity that will catapult you to a new season. There's a person watching me right now that God's going to give you favor in a real estate transaction. Somebody is watching that this $100 seed is going to be a turnaround in your family and in your marriage. That this $100 seed is going to be a turnaround in your family and in your marriage. That this $100 seed is going to be a turnaround in your family and in your marriage.
If sowing a seed of $100 will save your marriage, why didn't Todd ask his good friend Benny Hinn to sow that seed to save his marriage?
There is an anointing right now on this $100 turnaround seed. You say, why $100? Because this is what I felt God told me to say to you today. I'm going to come in prayer with you, and I'm going to come into a covenant. I'm going to come into agreement that when you plant this $100 turnaround seed into the work of God, you are creating a divine partnership with God, and something dynamic is going to happen.
Well, there you have it. He heard from God. See, he's a false prophet. Not only is he twisting the scriptures, but now he's getting divine communiques, which God's not speaking to this man, but he's a hired gun. He's on the Benny Hinn program. And the Benny Hinn program is called This Is Your Day. Yeah, it's your day to get fleeced. It's your day to experience a stick-up. Yeah, it is your day. Absolutely right. This is your day. There is Todd Koontz, a hired gun. Who hired him? Benny Hinn hired him. Here's another false prophet. His name is Rod Parsley. Not only does Rod Parsley play the role of stick-up artist, but he also brings in a ton of stick-up artists to help him stick up his own people. Here's Mr. Rod Parsley.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. This is from the New International Version. Let's read it together. To the man who pleases him. Shout, that's me. Are you a God pleaser? Come on. Look, don't get all nervous and that's the way people get. I don't know, Brother Rod. I you're talking about money. Well, let me just help your little heart. Jesus preached twice as much on finances than he did immorality. There are 500 verses in your Bible concerning the subject of prayer. Do you believe we should pray? There are 2,000 verses in your Bible that deal directly with your financial stability. I don't hear anybody shouting. 2/3 of the parables that Jesus taught his disciples had directly to do with finances and accountability regarding finances. Why? Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. Is anybody in the room with me? Now, I want to talk to you about first fruits. I'm not talking about second or third or tenth or twelfth. I'm talking to you about first fruits.
Now, first fruits is critical to these guys. You see, it's their way of filling up their coffers right after the Christmas holidays, right after December. You know, in December, many churches, many churches, their finances take an unbelievable dip. And, it doesn't start in December. It starts a week before Thanksgiving. So a week before Thanksgiving, which is about 6 weeks, during those two weeks, a week before Thanksgiving and the 4 weeks of December, it's like churches have a hard time making their bills. Why? Well, because people want to have their own Thanksgiving and they want to have a nice Christmas. So churches, their finances plummet during those 6 weeks. So now they've come up with a scam, and the scam is first fruits. This was started by, or let me say this, this was popularized, made popular by Paula White. She's the one who put it on television. Now, there were a few that were already teaching it, but they weren't teaching it on a television network platform. She's the one who popularized it. She's the one who ran with it, made it global, and then all of these other guys, seeing how well it worked for her, they too jumped on the bandwagon. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, you know that the Israelites gave their first fruits in June. They gave their first, and we New Testament believers call it the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost. Now, you don't celebrate Pentecost in January. You celebrate it May, June, depending on the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. Some years Pentecost could be in May, some years in June. They're running it in January. Why? Because they've been twisting the scriptures. First fruits means first month. First fruits means first month. But in actuality, the first month in the Hebrew calendar is the month of March. March, April. And the first feast is not first fruits, but Passover. That's what kicks off the year for the Jew. The new year starts at Passover. The religious new year starts at Passover. Then after Passover, 50 days later after Passover, you have Pentecost. 50 days later. So if Pentecost is celebrated in March, 50 days later we'll put it in May. If Passover is celebrated in March, then you would be celebrating Pentecost 50 days later in May. If it so happens that in that year Passover is being celebrated in April, then you would be celebrating Pentecost 50 days later in June. But Pentecost is never before Passover. Passover is always first. But these people who twist the scriptures and then tell you they heard from God will tell you first fruits means first month. First month for us is January. But that's not the way it's in the Bible. But they twisted the scriptures. They've done what Daniel said the Antichrist would do. He would change the times and the seasons. They, with their anti-Christian spirit, because what drives them is money, what they've done is they've taken the second feast in the Jewish calendar and made it the first. They've taken Pentecost, which comes second, they put it first and made Passover second. They're putting money before the blood. They're doing what Cain did. They're exactly doing what Cain did. Cain came first with his fruit of the ground. Abel came with his what? With his blood sacrifice, his lamb. It's the same thing. The same. These people are right out of the Bible. That's why Jude 11 says, woe to them who have gone in the way of Cain. A bloodless gospel. So here is Rod Parsley telling you, oh, the first month is January and we got to bring our first fruit. Here he is. Here he is.
I'm not talking to you about an appendage. I'm not talking to you about something left over. And immediately folks begin to rear up and they say, but Pastor Rod, that is old covenant. Well, let me just ask you a question. Do you believe God never changes? Because in Malachi chapter 3, where it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, is where that exact verse is located. I am the Lord your God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not concerned.
Now, I can tell you, looking at Rob Parsley, he must be eating a lot of pulled pork sandwiches. Rob Parsley must be eating a lot of Philly steak sandwiches. So if you're eating pulled pork sandwiches now in the New Testament, it's only because the Old Testament has been made obsolete. So Rob Parsley's eating pork today, but he couldn't eat it. Couldn't eat it in the Old Testament. So yeah, God has remained the same, but not the food regulations, not the giving regulations. Very poor argument.
So if you believe in an unchanging God, you ought to believe one verse later where he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open up the windows of heaven. And my God, I'm having a time. Somebody's getting this right now. Somebody's understanding. You've got to let go of what you've had a hold of in order to lay hold on what you've never had.
This is a stick up. It's a mind game. It's a con game. He's sticking his own people up.
Somebody's about to let go of tomorrow and the way you think it has to be. Somebody's about to look for a brook that doesn't dry up. Somebody's about to look for some ravens to start. Let me tell you something. To the ministry that pleases God, if men won't give it, he'll send the ravens. If the earth won't yield it, he'll send it by some other means. Your God is a God of all sufficiency.
So why doesn't Ron, why is Ron asking people for money? Why just doesn't he sit by the brook and wait like Elijah did, wait for the ravens to bring the money? He just said it. If you don't bring it, God will send it. Well, okay, so then stop asking the people, and just wait for the ravens to show up the same way Elijah did.
On what you've never had. Somebody's about to let go of tomorrow and the way you think it has to be. Somebody's about to look for a brook that doesn't dry up. Somebody's about to look for some ravens to start. Let me tell you something. To the ministry that pleases God, if men won't give it, he'll send the ravens.
So then why don't you wait for the ravens? Why don't you practice what you're preaching? Why don't you just sit down in your office and wait for the ravens to come tapping on your window? On your window, and you open the window, and they'll bring you the money. Just wait for the ravens. Why don't you practice what you preach? No, but you see, it's no good for him. See, he wants you to bring him the money, and then he wants you to wait for the ravens.
If the earth won't yield it, he'll send it by some other means. Your God is a God of all sufficiency. To the man who pleases him, shout, that's me. God gives wisdom, shout, I've got it. Knowledge, happiness. But to the sinner, say, that's not me. Say, that's not me. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth in order that he may hand it over to the man who pleases God. I dare you to stand, lay your Bible down, get up right now, and set heaven on notice that you are a God pleaser. And you are ready for transference. I need somebody to tell God, I'm ready for transformation by transference. Somebody that's ready for your bank account to change, get happy. Somebody that's ready for your savings account to change, get happy. Somebody that's ready for a transference. Somebody that's ready for Valor Christian College to receive approval from the federal government for grants and financial aid. Give God glory right now. Somebody that believes this is my year for transformation. Give him glory.
Meanwhile, he's selling off properties. I guess the people weren't buying his mumbo jumbo there. That's right. Rob Parthy has had to go and start selling properties because he can't pay his bills. I guess the Ravens don't know where he's at. Well, they knew where Elijah was. That's for sure. Here's another hired gun, and this is Brian Kahn, and he's going to tell you now in this clip that he's on his way to Columbus, Ohio, to go and preach for Rod Parsley, the same guy we just heard now. Listen to this guy.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to bind the devil. I just want to share something with y'all real quick. We're going to make this quick and simple. God bless. I love everybody this morning. Excuse my attire. God bless you from Tulsa. I'm getting ready to head to Columbus, Ohio. I'm preaching the morning. Columbus, Ohio. I preach in the morning with Pastor Rod Parsley. Praise God. We preach in the morning and we preach tomorrow night. Okay? So I just want to say that real quick. So I look forward to all of you who are going to meet me in Ohio in the morning and tomorrow night. Bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And I just want you to be encouraged, okay? Y'all just hear me out for just a moment. And I know people like to comment on Periscope, but just hear me out. Next year is going to be a phenomenal year for Brian Kahn Ministries. God has been faithful. He's been opening doors, blessing like never before. And I'm just amazed at God, at his favor, at his patience, at his love for us. And so I bless you in the name of the Lord. You who are watching, I bless you in the name of the Lord. God gave me an encounter years ago and told me whatever I speak, he would back it up. So I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I decree that his favor will be your portion. Undeniable, unremarkable favor shall rest upon your life. I want to say something real quick that bothered me. Two things I want to talk about, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get out your way, okay? God bless you. I hope the screen isn't frozen, and I hope y'all can all see me. Hold on. Yeah. And I'm trying to get it all worked out. But is everything fine? Okay. All right. Listen, let me just say this to you real quick. And I just want to share with you what I believe the Lord wants us to say. First of all, there seems to be an issue in the body of Christ as it pertains to giving. And I just want to deal with this monkey because everybody got something to say about giving. Now, somebody said they can't see my whole face. Can you see my whole face? Somebody just said they couldn't see my whole face. Can y'all see my whole face? Somebody said I'm not fully visible. Okay. Everybody's saying yes. I'm sorry if you can't. But anyway, let me say this to you quickly. Okay? They said if you turn off your keyboard, you'll see me. Okay? But, okay, let me say this to you real quick. I want to deal with this giving thing. Get out your way. It really don't matter. You don't have to see me. If you don't like it, you can just look at the replay. I want to deal with this giving thing because everybody in the body of Christ is very concerned and bothered about giving. And when a man of God asks for a seed, you say he's a crook. You say he's a charlatan. You say he's making you pay for the anointing. So let me settle something real quick. First of all, you don't have enough money to buy the anointing. Second of all, you don't have enough money to buy a prophecy. Because one word from God can change your life. One word from God can change you from rags to riches. But there's a problem in the body of Christ when it comes to giving. That everybody got something to say. I came up under a ministry that I guess giving was the norm, so it was not a problem. But the problem with us is some of you are not in a position to hear God for yourself. So because you can't hear God, a man of God has to challenge you to obey God because you're not in a place where the Holy Ghost can speak to you. Listen, I just left Georgia. The Lord spoke to me right there in service and said, I want you to write a check for $15,000. Okay? Didn't nobody have to tell me to give. Didn't nobody have to come to me and say give a certain amount. Because I've taught myself and put myself in a position to hear the voice of God. Now, everything about God is about giving. When you look from Genesis to Revelation, the world began with a seed. Everything God made, he put a seed in it.
Yeah, well, if I went to his, if I walked up to the service, when they said bring, let's say if he's collecting the offering, let's just say if he's collecting the offering, and I walked up to him and everybody's putting cash in his hands or putting checks in, if I went up with a box of pumpkin seeds and I poured the pumpkin seeds in his hands, he'd look at me like if I was crazy. But I would say to him, but didn't you say that everything started with a seed? Work with that. Those are pumpkin seeds. Or how about if I put some mango seeds in his hands or avocado seed in his hands? Would he receive it? No. See, it's money. No, they don't want seeds. They don't want you to give them some pepper, bell pepper seeds. They don't want you to no. They don't want you to give them some tomato seeds or some green bean seeds. Mm-mm. No. They want money. They want money. And he's on his way to rob Parsley to fleece the people in Ohio. And you heard him say he heard from God, and God told him to give a seed of $15,000. Who's got that kind of money except these con people? Here's another contemporary false prophet, Manasseh Jordan. Here's Manasseh Jordan.
You know, the Bible begins to say, oh, Lord, I beseech thee, oh, Lord, send now prosperity. I want to believe God with you that God will send prosperity, that whatever you need, whatever, maybe it's something that you're trying to obtain, maybe it's debt, maybe whatever it is, but God's going to prosper it, and he's going to send now prosperity. You watch me right now, and I'm feeling an incredible anointing on me right now as you're watching me. I want to come in agreement with you right now that God will begin to bless you, will prosper your household, will prosper your family, prosper your loved ones, prosper your business, your finances. It is time, because the Bible says that Jesus said in the Word, I've come for you to have life more abundant. Well, that's prosperity, my friend. That's prosperity. Father, I want to come in agreement right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to decree and declare prosperity to flow. Therefore, Father, everything they touch, let it prosper. Every place they go, let them prosper. Everything they do, let them prosper. Let them prosper, Lord. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you believe that, I want you to say that and declare that scripture over your life. Send now prosperity. Not tomorrow, not later, not when I get it. Send now. prosperity. And remember, Master Jesus is still the Lord, and he loves you. This is your year to prosper, my friend.
Yep, and the guy's living like a king, fleecing people. He's a hired gun. Benny Hinn hires him. Rod Parsley hires him. They have him over at Daystar. They have him over at TBN. Hired guns. Stick-up artist. Here's another one. Here's another one. With a timely message for the month of January.
Hey, I want to talk to you about something that's really important to God. And if it's important to God, I think it should be important to us. It's the principle of first fruits. And you might be saying, first fruits, what in the world is that? Well, it's the principle that all first belong to God. So whether it's the firstborn, it's the first of your increase, it's the first hours of your day, it's the first day of the week, the first month of the year, all first belong to God. When Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 6, and he's saying, hey, don't take any thought about these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, how you're going to drink. And those are pretty basic necessities to our life that I think we take thought of. And that word take no thought means don't be overly anxious or carefully anxious. Like, don't have anxiety. Don't stress out. Don't worry. Don't fret. He's basically saying your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. So if he knows that we have need of them, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, clearly says that the plans of God for us are to prosper us. And prosperity is not just like, oh, make you rich. Prosperity means to break forth, to break through, to break out. If God's plan is to prosper us, not to harm us, not to do us evil, but to give us an expected end, which means the desired result, and God has good plans for my life, and he knows what I have need of, then how do I see my needs get met? Now, the thing that I want to stress is motives are so important to God, because you can have two people that do the same thing, but the intention of the heart is very different in them. And the intention and the motive, to me, has to be, according to the word of God, and I believe to God, very pure. In other words, I honor you, God. I'm not just doing this to get. I'm not just doing this for selfish reasons. Although, following the principles of God and the patterns of God bring back the results and the rewards that God's word says. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things, your everyday needs, your human concerns, they'll be taken care of. So if I'm to seek first the kingdom of God, it means first in time, place, position, foremost, chief. It means fundamental, which is an essential or basis for structure. If I'm to seek as a foundation or a fundamental the kingdom of God, which means God's way of doing things, if I'm to seek that first, and then all these things will be added unto me, I really have to understand what is the kingdom of God and what are his first fruits and what belongs to him. The Bible lays it out from Genesis to Revelation. He clearly says, and I like Romans chapter 11, verse 6.
Okay, now, I don't want to torture you any more than I've already tortured you by letting you listen to her voice, but in Dr. Elijah Cole's fantastic book, First Fruits Fleecer, he wrote a book, in fact, he wrote a trilogy on Paula White, but in the second volume, great book, First Fruits Fleecer, in the second chapter, he begins by sharing, the second chapter is entitled Shepherd's Shear, S-H-E-A-R, Shepherds Shear Their Flock. And he devotes an entire chapter as to explaining what is the shepherd entitled to get from the sheep. And the shepherd is entitled to shear the flock. The shepherd is entitled to get the wool from the sheep so that he can sell the wool and use the money, the proceeds from the wool, as means to support himself. Every shepherd is allowed to shear the flock. Now, in the third chapter, he goes on to explain. Third chapter is entitled wolves fleece other people's sheep. And what he does in the first, what he does in the second chapter when he talks about shearing, he explains what is shearing. What is the natural law of shearing? How a shepherd can only shear his flock once a year. In the third chapter, when he talks about fleecing, he explains what is fleecing. And fleecing is when you serial shear your flock. In other words, when you go to your flock repeatedly. Now, the natural laws state that a shepherd can only shear his flock once a year. If you shear them again and again, and you wind up killing the flock. You cannot remove that wool but once a year. It's a natural law. Now, when you fleece the flock, you expose the flock to death. And that's what he does in the third. So now, when he says that Paula White is a first fruits fleecer, yeah. Paula White and Benny Hinn and Rod Parsley and Todd Kuntz and Manasseh Jordan and Brian Kahn will keep coming back to you, taking your money until finally, they destroy you economically. Now, they're living high on the hog. They've got their mansions. They got their private jets. They got their luxury cars. They got their huge paychecks. But you, on the other hand, you're getting evicted. You're having your car repossessed. You can't send your kid to college. You can't buy your prescriptions. Why? Because you allow these people to constantly shear you. And when they constantly shear you, it's no longer shearing, it's fleecing. I would encourage you to read Dr. Elijah Cole's book, First Fruits Fleecer. It is a classic. I haven't read one author that has explained what is shearing and what is fleecing, what is lawful and what is not lawful. Not one, except Dr. Elijah Cole's in this magnificent book, First Fruits Fleecer. These people are hired guns. Now, let me back up the concept of what is a hired gun by using scripture. In so doing, let's turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And we just want to read 8 verses, Numbers 22, verses 1 through 8. That's all we want to do, Numbers 22, verses 1 through 8. And in these verses, you will see that Balak, king of Moab, hired Balaam. Not to stick up the people. Not as a hired gun like today. Not as a stick-up artist. But Balak, king of Moab, hired Balaam to be the hired gun of the Old West, to kill God's people, to kill them, to destroy them. Why? Because God's people were marching to take possession of the promised land. So let's read Numbers chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. And what I want you to capture from this is that in the Bible, there were false prophets who were hired guns to do God's people damage. Let's read Numbers 22, starting at verse 1.
Chapter 22. Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian,
"This horde is going to lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field."
So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the river in his native land. Balak said,
"A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me, Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country. For I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed.
The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said.
Spend the night here,
Balaam said to them,
and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me.
So the Moabite princes stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked.
So there you have it. He was a hired gun. Balaam was a hired gun. And the princes of Moab departed, left the king of Moab with the price, with the fee, with the honorarium of divination. Because they wanted to hire Balaam to curse the people of God. Now, I'm going to develop this a little bit more in tomorrow's broadcast. So I want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. I don't want to overfeed you. Don't want to give you too much. And you pray for me. I pray for you. Remember, we're going to come together on Friday to do our wonderful call-in broadcast. Don't forget to go to paganbishops.com to view the new book.